great palette of colour.
Life is full of these grey areas, it's not just black and white.
An identity-forming experience.
You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast, with discussions and insights on art, politics, music and more, here on eastsidefm.org.
If you are still seated, I'd be very surprised.
Welcome to Changing the Face of Jazz, a series focusing on young Australian women who've been making their names as jazz instrumentalists in recent years. All of them have taken part in projects which are aimed explicitly at encouraging more young women to study jazz and thinking about jazz as a musical career. Most have been recipients of the prestigious Jan Rutherford Memorial Award. They're all changing the face of jazz. The musician featured in Changing the Face of Jazz this week is bassist Jessica Dunn. Now, as you'll hear from Jess herself, and in her own words, she came rather late to playing music in her late teens. But in 2009, she, along with Harry Harding, was awarded the Jan Rutherford Memorial Award to set up the Sirens Big Band. The Sirens Big Band is unique in Australian jazz in that it's an all-women's band, and has had a very significant effect on the number of women playing jazz around Australia. The band itself has performed across Australia in the 8 years it's been in existence, and it's the music from The Sirens which accompanies this profile of Jess Dunn. Before we hear from Jess herself, we're going to hear a live recording of a piece called Balkanator. And then after the interview, after the discussion with Jess, we're going to hear a piece called Odd Time in Mali. Odd Time in Mali is taken from The Sirens Big Band's CD called Kali and the Time of Change. There's also a version of Balkanator on that same CD. So here, with the music of The Sirens Big Band, is the voice, the profile of Jessica Dunn.
All right, we're going to start with a tune called Balkanator. This was composed by one of our lovely trumpet players, Ellen Kirkwood, who's a lady in the spotted dress. All right, Loz, it's all yours.
Thank you. I'm Jessica Dunn. I'm a improvising and jazz double bassist and band leader and budding composer. I actually didn't start playing music until just before my 18th birthday. A very late starter, yes. Took me a while to get over that. I started playing electric bass in my final year of school, and my dad found me a teacher nearby who was a jazz player, and I went to get electric bass lessons from him, and he would accompany me on his double bass, and that's how I was introduced to the double bass and sort of fell in love with it. He had this beautiful kind of over 100-year-old German double bass that was just exquisite, and I was looking at my, you know, beginner electric bass. So I was always really obsessed with music, like through high school. I read a lot and I listened to a lot of music. So I think I just never considered it to be an option. I went to school in Western Sydney. We didn't really have a music program at my school. I just never kind of considered it. I just always thought of myself as a listener, I guess. And then it was actually my dad sort of found one of his old electric basses in I think in his brother's garage and brought it home when I was in my final year of high school, and that was kind of it. That was, I thought, oh, maybe I could play this thing, maybe I could play music, and yeah, I started and never stopped. I think at the beginning, it took me a while to kind of really seriously get into it. I went to uni and did something else, and then I worked for a while and travelled for a while, but I kept, everything else sort of ended up taking, you know, second place to the music. So I'm not sure if there's exactly one thing that hooked me into it, but it was the thing that I definitely enjoyed doing the most and didn't sort of, you know, feel like a chore, I guess. When I was in school, I listened to rock music and grunge music, and that was the thing I was into. It was actually my first teacher, so he introduced me to early jazz and to the double bass, and I got really hooked on it. I got hooked on the sound and the feeling, and it just kind of grew from there. Realised, you know, and then sort of found other people and realised there were other people, you know, my age that liked this music, and it was something that I could do. Yeah, when I first started, I guess my teacher was introducing me to sort of earlier recording, so earlier bass players, you know, Ray Brown and Oscar Pettiford and stuff like that. And I guess they were my kind of early influences in terms of, you know, that was sort of my concept of how jazz bassists sounded. And then I think as far as influences go, that sort of shifted as time has gone on, and I, you know, my sort of scope and understanding of jazz and what I, you know, what's called jazz has expanded as I've kept playing and listened to more modern music and listened to more Australian music. And so I don't know that there's bass players that I like. Like, I still like those early players that I listened to. And, you know, I love Charlie Hayden. And there's heaps of Australian bass players that I like, you know, Lloyd and Brett. I mean, they're all incredible. But I don't know that there's one. Dave Holland as well. There's heaps. I don't really feel like there was one kind of moment or one person that I sort of thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. I feel like it was more a collection of those moments, and the fact that I kept kind of wanting to do it sort of propelled me forward rather than there being this sort of, you know, aha moment. First, as I said, I started playing bass quite late, so I went to uni and did an arts degree, but I found myself sort of gravitating towards music subjects and, you know, continuing to try to find people to play with, and realising that actually what I wanted to do with most of my time was play music. So it seemed like I was sort of, you know, pushing against that in a way by doing other things, and I guess I finally just gave in and thought, well, you know, I can do it. And I guess there was, you know, yeah, meeting other people was probably a big thing as well. So meeting all the friends that I have now that had decided that that was, you know, something that they were going to do with their lives. And then, you know, meeting teachers beyond that, like Sandy, who were making it their lives, thinking, oh, this is a possibility. This is something that I could do. It's kind of like a double-edged sword, isn't it? The am I a musician or a female musician? I think in terms of like identity and experience, I can't really deny my femaleness. But I, like personally, but I guess externally, I would hope that people would see me as, you know, see beyond my gender and not gender things like, you know, the way I play my bass, because I don't necessarily think that that's, you know, a lot of playing music isn't, you can't really gender those activities. I mean, I remember seeing my teacher playing double bass and asking him, do girls play that instrument? So in terms of whether things have changed, I mean, I like to think that they have. I like to think that there's just more awareness in general of the potential kind of roadblocks that women might face in entering, you know, certain art forms. I think the main thing that I can speak of was role models, really. I just didn't have, I didn't really see that many women playing music, so I didn't consider it to be an option. You know, the boys I hung out with played in bands, and I thought that's the way, sort of, you know, think, well, I guess I didn't even think about it. I just was like, that's how it is. And I think a big thing, well, for me, it might be different for other women, but is that just the presence of other females, you know, doing it, making a living out of it, you know, like Sandy and Judy. I mean, there's heaps of them in the Sydney scene that have just done it. I would have liked to have had that experience of seeing those people earlier, I guess. I feel like it would be fairly egotistical to say I consider myself a role model for other women, but I do like to think that Sirens itself is a sort of an example of women sort of playing music and over a period of time and making that work. Yeah, I feel much more comfortable calling other people role models. Other people in the band, of course. There's heaps of great role models in the band, but I feel more comfortable calling them role models. Advice to someone starting out playing jazz. I don't know. I mean, I want to say if you love the music, just do it. Like, there's struggles trying to be a practicing musician, probably in most places in the world, to be real about it. So it sounds sort of shallow, but I mean, just do it.
Changing the Face of Jazz for this week, and you've heard the voice and the music of bassist Jessica Dunn. The music, the last track you heard, was called Odd Time in Mali, taken from the Sirens Big Band CD Kali and the Time of Change. And just before the profile of Jess Dunn, we heard a piece called Balkanator. The version we heard was a live recording made in Sydney, but there is a version of that same track, that same piece, on the same CD. That's Kali and the Time of Change. Changing the Face of Jazz is produced and presented by Mick Patton.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.